The Bluebell Bunting Society by Poppy Dolan. Read by Lizzie Wofford for Saga Egmont. For Kirsty Greenwood. Man, oh man, I owe you so much. Thank you for every single thing you've done for me. Chapter 1. If you're happy and you know it, clap your hands. But Alfred is not happy. Alfred is a furious ball of baby fat, a small and rather angry Winston Churchill look-alike. Tears are streaming down his red face, and his screams are so forceful I can feel my fringe being blown off my forehead. His screeches completely drown out my claps, but I persevere with the next verse. I thought singing soothed babies. I'm no Mariah, but even my off-key warbling shouldn't cause this kind of a reaction. Stamp your feet. Alfred's mum looks like she could stamp on my head. I hear, as the world's angriest baby pauses to take a breath, it's not like this at Bounce and Rhyme. The fellow Uber mum next to her, in identical skinny white jeans, nods with a sour frown, wrinkling her perfectly blended eyeshadow into crow's feet. Oh, cripes. These two were the only new visitors this week as well. The whole idea of the Sunday fun day at the hall was to give families a breather, a bit of a laugh, with craft activities and singing and general mucking about, kids everywhere and parents able to sip at weak squash and discuss extension plans. Well, that's what it had been like when I was little. Now I'd be happy to see a horde of happy mums in their buggies through the doors, whatever they wanted to do. Kickboxing, astral meditation, amateur acupuncture. But somehow, I doubt Alfred's mum will be giving us a big grin emoji on Mumsnet and promoting our community space. I should have known she was a tough customer when a tot came dressed in tweed trousers, a cashmere roll neck, and answering specifically to Alfred. This kid was no Alfie. Never, ever an Alf. This toddler has better shoes than me, and I'm 29. Okay, so the damp patch above the fireplace and the crack running down next to the front door aren't exactly welcoming to most newcomers, and it gets a bit chilly when not full of bodies. And I didn't think to bring in anything other than bog-standard tea and coffee and some lemon Robinsons. No decaf? No sugar-free? White Jeans number 2 said in alarm, as if I'd suggested she give her little Tallulah a Haribo salad for lunch. But the hall has its charms, and I love it. I'm proud to be its caretaker, for want of a better title. I love its ornate ceiling roses, the mostly intact tiles that form a beautiful scene at the doorstep, vibrant bluebells against a lush green hill. It might smell of mould. It might only have 2 temperamental plug sockets, but William Hibbert left it to our village as a gift spanning the generations. He built it so we'd have a place to gather, a place to be, a real community hall. The problem is, the community seemed to have forgotten. He built it in 1866, so I can't blame them. Whether they've forgotten, or they don't like the odd bit of peeling plaster flaking onto their heads, it's up to me to make Bluebell Hall as inviting as a freshly made bed with extra kittens. Because Bluebell Hall needs visitors. And fast. I half-heartedly wave off my pair of yummy mummies. They won't be back. There's a polite nudge in my side. You can't win them all. Susanna says kindly. Even when I have a zero turnout for a Sunday, Susanna is always here with sympathy and coffee mate. She was one of my gran's best friends for decades, so just seeing her shiny silver bob and upright posture makes me feel calm, like I'm about to watch Stars in Their Eyes in my PJs in 1996 with a cheeky hot Nesquik on my gran's sofa. Well, I appreciate you, caffeine, I mutter, even if no one else does. Shall I make tea? Who else do we have left? Should I make it a big pot? I scan the hall.